The first reading for the second Sunday of Easter is from Acts chapter 5. But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." When they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. But a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law held in honor by all people, stood up and gave orders to put the men outside for a little while. And he said to them, "Men of Israel, take care what you are about to do with these men. For before these days, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him. He was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean rose up in the days of the census and drew away some of the people after him. He too perished, and all who followed him were scattered. So in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan is or this undertaking is of man, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God." So they took his advice, and when they had called in the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day, in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Peter chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him, and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so am I sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my fingers in the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, the disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message comes from Matthew chapter 28. And after the Sabbath, at dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, and an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, he has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He is risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.' So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. 'Greetings,' he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me.'" When we run across somebody we meet out in public, we usually have a greetings of some sort. In other words, we're happy to see them. We greet relatives, we greet friends, we greet people when they come to visit. Whether you greet them at a house, a store, an airport, church, greetings is a positive thing. Every day we are greeted or greet somebody ourselves. God greets us every day as well. When you see a beautiful sunrise or a beautiful sunset, that's God sending a greeting down to us. At least that's my opinion. This is the Thursday, as far as the text goes. Excuse me, let's try this again. Thursday, before the crucifixion, Jesus is celebrating the Passover with his disciples. A little later, he's going to be praying in the garden. And a short time later, the betrayer is going to come with a group of soldiers from the temple. And Judas has a greetings from the Lord, but it's not the type of greetings that I talked about earlier. This was a greetings like, "Now you're going to get your own." It was a backstabbing attempt by Judas. Jesus has a quick trial. He's disowned by Peter and deserted by the rest. The soldiers stripped him, put a scarlet robe on his head, and crown of thorns on his head. They mocked him and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." From Matthew 27, they put a staff in his right hand and knelt in front of him and mocked him. "Hail, King of the Jews," they said. Then they spit on him and took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. After they mocked him, they took off the robe, put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. They took him to a place called Golgotha, and there nailed him to a wooden cross that was then raised up between two thieves who were being crucified. Above his head they placed the written charge against him, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." He would shed his blood on the cross, situated between two thieves. When Jesus died, Joseph of Arimathea went to Pilate and asked for the body in order to put it into a tomb, and then it was sealed with a large rock. The text for today's message begins with the words, "At dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb." These women had been at the crucifixion. They hadn't fled like the men. So women, you got something to brag about. So when the guys bring up Eve, you bring up the women who were at the crucifixion and who were there first at the tomb, all right? I'm giving you some ammunition to play back with. Why am I betraying my own? Oh, well. They were paying their respects to a loved one by bringing the spices and the ointments. Now, in Matthew 27, it says, "The chief priests and the Pharisees remembered Jesus' words, 'After 3 days I will rise again.' Pilate gave permission to secure the tomb. He said, 'Go make the tomb as secure as you know how.'" As a sidebar, it's interesting, the Pharisees remembered that Jesus had said, "In 3 days I will rise again," but his own disciples seem to have forgotten that. The Pharisees who challenged him at every turn along the way, at this point, actually get it to some small degree, not to a saving degree, but to some degree that they remember his words, "After 3 days I will rise again." So very early in the morning, the women went to the tomb to anoint the body. They wanted to show their love and respect for Jesus. Bringing the spices and the herbs is like when we bring flowers to a gravesite. It's to honor the person we are going to visit. And they asked the question, who will roll away the stone from the entrance of the tomb? And as they neared the tomb, there was a violent earthquake. For an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. If you read the various Gospels, the four Gospels, each one seems to have a different number of angels at the tomb. Just to explain how that can be, one is focusing on the angel sitting on the rock. Another one is focusing on two talking. And the third one, I forgot what he's focusing on, and I didn't write it down, so I can't remember. But it's because they had different perspectives or different focuses they wanted to make. But the fact is, the stone was rolled away from the tomb. Now, the rock was not rolled away so Jesus could leave the tomb, because he could have done that just with a snap of his fingers. He could have just left the tomb. But the stone was rolled away so that people could go inside and see that the tomb was empty. Matthew tells us of the description of the angel. His, referring to the angels, appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The Old Testament prophet Daniel gives a different description of angels. His body was like beryl. It's a blue-greenish sort of translucent gem. His face was like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like torches of fire, his arms and feet like burnished bronze in color, and the sound of his words like the voice of a multitude. Sounds pretty scary. No wonder the angel had to say, peace be with you first. But the angels frequently come to announce something important. The angels came to Bethlehem and announced to the shepherds, do not be afraid. Yeah, I'd be afraid if I saw a multitude of those figures that David or Daniel is describing. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Before Jesus had been arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, an angel came and ministered to him, strengthening him. Jesus knew that the betrayal was going to happen soon, the mistreatment, but he also knew the agony of the cross. He also knew that he would suffer hell itself when he said the words, Father, why have you forsaken me? Boy, I'm having troubles remembering. The angels came to give him strength before he began this great ordeal. Angels came to Jesus after the temptations in the desert, and it says that angels ministered to him. The psalmist writes, the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear them and delivers them. An angel came to Joseph and said when he was about to divorce Mary secretly, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take for yourself Mary, your wife, that for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Angels are real and they are God's messengers. The soldiers at the tomb felt a violent earthquake. And I wonder if that wasn't the sound of the angels coming to roll the stone away from the tomb. Jesus' earthly mission had been to pay for our sins. He took all of our sins, past, present, and future, and put them in that tomb. The stone rolled in front of the tomb is a way of looking at our sins as permanently locked away from us. Divine justice was satisfied when the angel descended and used the power by God to break the seal indicating the dark and death indicating that death and darkness are also under the control of God. Then he sat on the stone, almost defying the powers of the dark. Try to roll it back. Let's see what happens. You know, think about that. One angel can defeat Satan. Why are we afraid of Satan? One angel can stop him. And a lot of people believe that we all have guardian angels. So we have guardian angels protecting us. Why are we afraid of a wimp? But that's another story for another day. The angel's greeting was, do not be afraid, for I know you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. They were looking for Jesus, but they were afraid. People all too often are afraid to ask for help because they're afraid of what somebody else will think. Perhaps the women thought themselves unworthy to be there. But we should never feel unworthy enough that we cannot call upon our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The angel said to the woman, "He is not here, he is risen, just as he said." He is alive. Although some still think that the body was stolen, the angel said, "Come and see where he lay." The women had witnessed the crucifixion. They knew where he had been buried. They came to put spices on the body. Now they're invited to go into the tomb and look for themselves and find it empty. Why would they find it empty? Because he is risen. The resurrection is a historical fact. Jay Strobel, a man who's written several excellent Christian books, proved beyond a doubt that the resurrection was true because over 500 witnesses, as St. Paul tells us, saw the risen Christ. And he said if he went in, he was a lawyer, he said if he went into court with 500 witnesses, he'd win the case hands down. So he says the resurrection is a historical fact. The angel then said to the women, "Go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him." From Matthew 28, continuing, "So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to the disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. 'Greetings,' he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, where they will see me.'" When he's referring to his brothers, he's talking about the disciples. Remember, this is the same group who had denied him and abandoned him when he needed them most. Now he's calling them brothers. In other words, the relationship now is stronger than it had been before the crucifixion. Now, did the disciples go immediately to Galilee when they heard these words? Nope. In the gospel lesson that was read over there, where were the disciples a week later? In the upper room yet? A week after Jesus said, "Go to Galilee and meet me there." They were afraid. They were plainly afraid of what would happen if they went out into public. Now, from the Jewish perspective, when something is unique or different, sometimes making up a story can sound more plausible than what actually happened. Some of the guards told the chief priests what had happened. Our text says, "When the chief priests had met with the soldiers and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, 'You are to say, his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep.'" It sounds believable. And many people today still believe that to be true. Many Jews to this day believe that Jesus' body was stolen by the disciples. What does the empty tomb mean to you? The resurrection is the basis of our faith. It's at the very core of the faith itself. After Adam and Eve had sinned, all of creation was changed. Romans 3, verses 22 to 25 says, "The righteousness from God that comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe, there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood." From 2 Corinthians 5:21, "We Christians give our sins to Jesus, and in return he replaces our unrighteousness with righteousness and forgiveness. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. He took our sins, past, present, and future, and nailed them to a cross, and then gave him his righteousness." The hymn writer, Mrs. H.M. Hall, wrote in a hymn, said, Jesus paid it all I owe to him. Sin has left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. The resurrection is Jesus' promise to us of victory over death and victory over the grave. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. The empty tomb tells us that the resurrection is real. Immortality is endless. Jesus says in Revelation 1:18, I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. The good news reaches each one of us. He is not here. He is risen. And then one day we'll be greeted by the words of Jesus himself speaking to us, welcome home, good and faithful servant. So may the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen. And please rise and we confess our faith together in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. And one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us on the time of Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead. His kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. And let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O God, our Father, you have raised your Son, and he has bestowed the Holy Spirit on his apostles. Believing Christ's resurrection, help us also to trust the forgiving words of his servants. Lord, in your mercy. O God, our Father, turn the enemies of your church and bring their heart to repentance. Strengthen all Christians in their faith and in their vocation of service as your children, that we may be obedient to your word and receive the salvation of our souls. Lord, in your mercy. O God, our Father, build up the households of your people, that your holy children, begotten in baptism, may grow in your grace and share together in your forgiveness and life. Lord, in your mercy. O God, our Father, you appoint rulers and officials for the sake of order and peace. Bless those you have placed in authority in federal, state, and local governments. Give to them the desire to serve with integrity and honor and to work for the benefit of all. Lord, in your mercy. O God, our Father, we praise your Son's resurrection from the dead and draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Show your kindness to Jenny Hill and family, Raymond Kinnon, Gerda Martin, Don Haddock, Kathy Hawkins, Mary Allman, the sister-in-law of Elaine Powers, Ron Thompson, Frieda Smith, Elizabeth Samples, Jennifer Burton, Julie Ploss, Eleanor Connor, Joyce Thompson, Susan Fouts, Steve Klotfelter and family, and Debbie Houck, and the prayers for the homeless and needy in our community. Graciously receive our prayers of intercession for Christ's sake. Lord, in your mercy. Hear our prayer. O God, our Father, your Son greets his disciples with peace despite their sins against him. Make us confident in his mercy towards us and gladden our hearts as he comes to us in his body and blood with forgiveness and renewal. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you that out of your indescribable grace, for the sake of your Son, you have given us the Holy Gospel and instituted the blessed sacraments, that through them we may have comfort and the forgiveness of sin. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may heartily believe your word, and through the holy sacraments establish our faith day by day, until at last we obtain eternal salvation. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And please be seated, and we continue our worship with our gifts to continue the work of his church. Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and beneficial that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God. And most especially, we bow to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death, and by his rising again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter, and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we honor and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, For you have had mercy on those whom you created, and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh, to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and to drink his blood, as he bids us to do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Amen.
Come, Lord Jesus. O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and to drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Welcome to the table of the Lord. Amen.
May the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, grant you strength and the true faith unto life everlasting. Now go with God's peace and serve the Lord. Welcome to the table of the Lord.
And please rise.
Continue with him 490.
thank everyone for joining us for worship this morning. A couple of announcements. There is church council meeting right after church, and the ladies are going out to the Olive Garden April 17th. So ladies, have a great time there. Don't act up like you did last year, and they don't have to leave out. It makes a better story, because we